Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Victoria, and welcome back to Café Confesiones, or Coffee and Confessions, if you don't speak Spanish. We're from the Latin Students Association here at Laurier, so welcome back to our show. Today, we have a little bit of a guest, one of my close friends and another executive member of the LLSA. If she would like to introduce herself, this is Natalie.
Hi. So yeah, I'm Vice President of Events at LLSA. My name's Natalie, and I'm a third year health science student at Laurier currently.
Heck yeah. So, okay, we're gonna talk a little bit about everything. I think she's, after our co-president, she's kind of second right hand to us, and she's honestly amazing. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. Of course. So should we talk about how, okay, let's try to map this out.
Yeah.
Who are you? Well, we already kind of talked about that. And how did we meet?
Oh, yes. So this is actually a really interesting story, and it's actually kind of funny. So me and Victoria, we actually initially met for the Spanish club here at Laurier. And it was funny because we just, like, texted and said, okay, let's just meet up at the science building.
Yeah.
And it was just really funny because I was just the first one there. So it's like I was waiting for, like, 5 minutes because I'm just, like, an anxious person like that. So I need to be early.
Yeah.
And then you came over and you're just, like, very intimidating, I feel like.
Oh, lovely.
Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know the vibe there, but you're pretty, like, scary a bit.
Okay, well, that's great to hear. That's gonna be super intimidating. I swear I'm not intimidating once you get to know me. I feel like
no, you're chill, but like it's just like the initial just like, hi, how are you? Like it just
I feel like maybe I'm a very talkative person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that. I don't know. Maybe it's just my face that is
it
not.
Was just hard to tell with like the vibe, I guess.
Yeah, I mean we vibe though. I
yeah,
think
no, for sure.
I think we're good friends now, I hope. But yeah, no, I think that was funny and how we were both in the Spanish club, I guess, at the beginning of everything. That was second year. That was second year for you, third year for me. And we were in the Spanish club and I guess we didn't know this club existed.
Yeah, it was just like trying to meet like other Latinos, I guess, and just like seeing
the vibes.
Yeah,
I think Laurier...
Like,
I think we've talked about this a lot in the show, but like Laurier doesn't have the biggest Latino community, or at least it's not like super united and super close.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we're always hidden.
I know.
Like <It's> I always like, find like Latino people like in different, like in the most randomest places.
I know.
Stuff.
And it's like amazing to meet other Latinos, especially like when you're far away from home and far away from your family, I guess, your hometown here in Canada. It's kind of difficult because, especially, like I said, if you don't show up to, like, events, like, at, like, I don't know, the Spanish club or, like, a cultural club, you won't meet them.
Yeah, you're not gonna meet them.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard because I would say there's few of us, but I don't know that.
I know, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's funny, though, because it's like, you guys got to get out there. Because I know you're out there.
I know.
Somewhere.
I don't know where,
yeah,
but
you better come to our event.
I know. There's a lot of us, and we got a lot of cool events going on. I mean, tonight, usually our events are on Thursdays. I don't know if you've picked up on that. Usually, like, Daniel, like, the other co-host, and I are always running out of here.
Oh, I know.
Super quickly and trying to make it to our 7 o'clock event. But this is, like, the day that works best for all the execs. And we kind of all meet up and plan these fun events. Tonight is tote bag painting. Do you want to kind of expand on that a little?
Yeah, so basically, we have a bunch of tote bags, like, that you guys are able to paint and stuff, free of charge, too. First 10 people who come to the event get a little goodie bag. So it's actually a funny story. We were gonna, I don't know if you guys saw the post we had up, but we were gonna do a Valentine's Day sale booth.
Yeah.
And then it didn't end up working out. So we have a few goodie bags
left,
that we'd like to distribute out for you guys. So first time people get the goodie bags.
I know, it's super cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of sucked because it was kind of snowing that day.
I know.
Not kind of.
Yeah.
We were completely snowed in. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, campus was closed, so we couldn't do our booth or our event because we had an event that night as well.
Yeah.
But you know what? We persevere.
Yeah, we did. Right. Same with those Sweet Lou's cookies. Guys, we were supposed to sell some Sweet Lou's cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't end up happening.
I know.
But for next time, future events, we're going to be boothing some Sweet Lou's cookies. So make sure to watch out for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for those. I'm so excited because I love a Sweet Lou's cookies. Shout out to Sweet Lou's.
Right. They're like actually... They're very yummy.
They're so good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss them when I graduate. Even though I'm not the biggest, like, super sweet tooth girl, mm-hmm. but I love a Sweet Lou's, and I'm going to miss them a lot.
Question
you know?
For you, Victoria.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Café y Confesiones.
Yeah, correct.
It's a long name, I feel
like. It's kind of like...
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But basically, I want to ask you, what would be... your number one cookie duo with, like, coffee, tea, latte.
Okay. So, cookie-wise, my favorite cookie is shortbread cookies. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
And then second would be a good chocolate chip cookie.
Nice. Yeah.
So, but then with, like, a tea, well, I don't drink coffee, which is kind of funny because of the name. But I don't drink coffee. I drink a lot of tea. I love tea.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to pair a shortbread cookie with a tea, it would probably be some sort of, let's say an Earl Grey latte.
Earl Grey,
or London Fog. We learned that today.
Yeah, it turns out it's the same thing, guys.
I did not know this, and I'm a big tea person, and I guess I should have known this, but I didn't, so.
Yeah, what was I going to say?
What about you?
Oh, for myself, definitely a matcha. I've always been a matcha gal. I don't know. I just hate the aftertaste of coffee.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I actually grew up like having coffee. Like as a little kid, my grandma would always give me some and I just like dip my bread in it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very yummy. But like as I've grown up, it's just not what I like. So I love matcha. And then another controversial thing, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I love chocolate chip cookies. But, like, imagine the chocolate chip cookie without the chocolate chips. But not, like, a sugar cookie. Like a, like, you know the material. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Like, the dough.
Yes, yeah.
Of the sugar.
It's, like, not a sugar cookie, but it's just, like, oh, it's so good.
Because most chocolate chip cookies are made with brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sugar cookies are just made with, white sugar.
Yeah.
Or, like, just white granulated sugar. So the taste is different. The dough is different. Maybe I'll make you some chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chip before
please.
I graduate.
Please. I love that.
Yeah. I think so. I think we'll do that. I think that would be a fun little moment.
Yeah.
And then, okay, let's talk about this because we were kind of brainstorming what we were going to talk about today. Mm. And we kind of came up with a topic that was kind of interesting to both of us, and it's being a first generation Latino in Canada. I mean, personally, I'm not because I moved here, so I guess my kids would be first generation. So what about you? What's your situation?
For me, I'd technically be considered first gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom, actually, interesting fact, my mom moved here to Canada when she was 15. She didn't know English at all, but she persevered. That girl persevered, and she learned the language. Then she moved back to El Salvador, and, like, her and my dad were together, like, during all that time. So, she just brought him over, and it's just, like, she knew, like, how to be in Canada and, like, all that. But even still, it's, like, they don't know about things, like, to do with university. So in that way, it's a little bit of a struggle for me as a first gen,
Latina person. I mean, I think it's hard because even for me, and this is how, like, it's different because I guess it's kind of the same, actually. Never mind, it's not different. because I came here and I also didn't know anything, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do in terms of university wise, like post-graduation in high school. Obviously, like, they help you out in high school a lot more. But, like, my parents didn't know. It's not enough. I think we should work on that. But, like, my parents, for example, didn't know anything. They were like, yeah, I have no idea how to apply for a university. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. My brother applied before I did because he's 5 years older. So we kind of knew, in a way, how to do it. Yeah. But personally, me, I didn't know because I was 5 years younger. I didn't. It's not that I didn't really care, but I wasn't.
So was it for you, like, through your brother then, like, learning all that in a way? Or
in a way, but also not, because he's 5 years ahead, right? Mm-hmm. So he, by the time I was applying, he had already forgotten everything. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he was excited about the process, but he wasn't, like, necessarily like, oh, this is what you gotta do, because he had already forgotten. And I guess if you even ask me now, like, I don't really remember. I mean, do you remember fully? It's kind of blurry.
Not really, I don't know. It very depends. Also, because, like, your brother did something else, like, different, right?
Yeah.
From psychology. So, yeah, I'd say that's a factor to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, I figured it out. I did it mostly with my friends. Mm-hmm. I think my friends were, like, such, like, I don't know, like, a support in that sense.
I agree with that, yeah.
Because their parents were Canadians or, like, like first gen, so they kind of at least had gone through it before in a way. So they kind of helped me out with that, and we kind of all supported ourselves.
Yeah.
Because, again, there's not much, I don't know, that you, like, learn about, like, oh, this is how you have to do it, how you have to do it. And, again, I do think they help you, but maybe a little bit more would be, helpful.
Yeah, like, certainly. Like, I had no idea in my program. Till second year, I had no idea that, like, you had to do research to be a part of, like, med school. And that's, like, actually something med schools consider.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. And it's just, like, this is stuff. I don't know how I didn't know. But, like, I usually just relied on, like, Reddit and things like that. Because, like, none of my friends really
knew about
knew about it or were going into, like, the science, health sciences, things like that. So it's like, I'm just paving my own way.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's difficult, but, like, I'm resilient.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we're doing good. I mean, I think it's difficult just because I think you're an adult now.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really, like, I don't know. You think about the transition between, what's it called, elementary school and high school, it was basically, like, handed to you. They're like, okay, do this, do that, and then you just wrote a paper and signed it and sent it off to the school, right? But then, I guess going from high school to university or post-grad, whatever you end up doing, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it makes sense. You're an adult. Mm-hmm. You're a very young adult, and I think it's kind of hard that way, but, yeah, I mean, we persevered, and look at you, third year in, almost done.
Still finding my way, but we're getting there.
That's how I feel. Yeah. I'm like, I'm still learning things today type of thing. And I'm like, I think that's a cool part of university, and I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, yeah. I mean, I think about it, and I'm like, it's kind of important to be proud of our own, like, little success, you know?
Even it's huge.
It's massive. I think about, like, our parents and, you know, how much they went through for us to be here and how privileged we are to have this education. And I'm, like,
for sure,
I'm so happy and I'm so grateful. Today I was talking to my mom, actually, and she had just gone back home recently, and she brought me a little necklace that one of her friends gave her. And it's, like, a little map of Venezuela. I sent her a picture of it, and I was talking to her, and I was like, honestly, I'm so grateful. And it's, like, such a small thing, right? But I was like, it's so cute. It's a part of my culture, and I feel so connected to it. So I was like, thank you. Today I'm, like, really grateful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's always something to be grateful about. What are you grateful about today?
Oh, I don't know. I'm grateful that I got my studying in.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's the small things. This feels like a Thanksgiving episode now that I'm saying
I know. Grateful. I feel very seasonal.
I know. Well, you know what? Seasonal stuff is nice. I don't know.
Speaking of, though, how do you feel about, like, the seasonal depression feeling right now? Like, are you feeling it? Because I'm low-key feeling it.
Yes. I think it's kind of lifting now because it's kind of getting, like, hotter, like, warmer in a way. But today's freezing, by the way.
Oh,
yesterday was, like, I don't know, 0 degrees. It felt nice. It was, like, there was sun shining. Today I wake up, it's -5, and it feels like -19.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's hard to navigate that personally as an immigrant, like, coming from a place that is super tropical, sunny all year round, never any snow, unless you live,
oh
like,
my God.
In,
that
like,
reminds
the
me.
Andes, but, like, it was hard.
Yeah, like, it's so funny when my cousins, they'll always be talking, like, they'll always be saying, oh my God, like, I want to see... Enseñame la nieve, enseñame la nieve. And they want pictures of, like, the snow and stuff. And I'm just like, guys, it's horrible here. Why do you want to be seeing that?
No, like, I know. Here's the thing.
Like, I get it, but it's just like, oh, my God.
I get where they come from in that sense because, like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I want to see the snow. I want to see the snow. I want to see the snow. Even now, like, my little cousins, like, they're like, I want to see the snow. I want to see even my old cousins that are, like, 30.
I know,
Everyone has, like, snow is such a commodity until you live here and you're like, oh, I actually got to shovel my driveway 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Or more. I mean, like, in northern cities. I mean, I'm from southwestern Ontario.
Yeah.
So it's, like, very, like, it's Toronto. Like, we don't get that much snow, but yeah.
Not like Aurelia. If you guys don't know, I'm from more central Ontario, so in Aurelia. So it's like very, it's like a snow globe, basically. Victoria's seen the pictures.
I know.
Like,
it's
my
bad.
House was buried in the snow.
It's bad. Yeah. I love the winter and I love the snow, but I don't think I can.
But not to the point where it's like I can't get out of my driveway.
It's bad. I don't know if you remember a couple years back, I'm pretty sure it was either New Brunswick or Nova Scotia, there was, like, this massive snowstorm that they had. And, like, it was, like, covering their whole, like, doors.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they would open the door and just, like, see snow.
Yeah.
I think that's insane. And, like, if I were to deal with that, I'd be like, oh, my God, that's insane to me. Like, I'd die.
Oh, my God. You know what that reminded me of, too? My cousins, when they moved to Texas, so they never experienced snow. So for them, it was like, oh, it's a spectacle. Like, for sure, obviously, if you never experienced snow. But what I find so funny is when they get those snowstorm warnings.
Yeah.
And then they'll send the pictures to my family. And they're like, oh, my God, it's so bad here. Like, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. And then you'll see the picture and it's just like frosted grass on the lawn.
I think it's, well, the thing is, like, I have friends, like, in Maryland, for example. Yeah. And it's not bad. Like, it gets a little chilly, whatever, but it's not, like, it doesn't snow enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend would, like, send me pictures and be like, oh, my God, campus is closed. We have a snow day. And I'm like, oh, my God, how much snow did you get?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, like, 1 centimeter, 2 centimeters. And it's like, you know, it's kind of funny because obviously you live here, so you're used to that. But at the same time, it's like, obviously they're not built for that.
Yeah. It's like, I want to see you
be
here for a day.
I know.
See how you handle it.
It would be hard. It would be hard for, I think, everyone.
It would.
Yeah. But you know what? We deal with our mental health the way we can. I think in the Latino community, it's kind of an important topic to talk about. Because I think a lot of Latinos or older generations of Latinos are kind of like, you know, just kind of ignore it. You'll get over it in a day.
Yeah.
Or, like, you're just like, you're not having a good day and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mental health is so important to talk about, especially regarding Central and South America.
Yes.
What are your opinions on this?
Well, I definitely say my parents are kind of like that. Like, they definitely support my mental health the most they can.
Yeah.
But they're definitely, like, the type to be like, you don't have depression.
Yeah.
You're just sad right now.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's like something I don't agree with, but like.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I guess growing up in Canada, there's more of a different culture regarding that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's something they prioritize a little bit more. And I think it ties in to the winter, because in the winter, obviously, you don't get that vitamin D from the sun, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, it's proven that the sun does boost your serotonin and dopamine levels, and it's just, like, you are actually happier with the sun.
Yeah.
It's super important. So, I guess from a young age, even little baby Canadians, like, they give them, like, vitamin D drops.
Yeah.
Or, like, stuff like that. Whereas, like, back home, at least we don't do that. I know kids just kind of, like, grow up in the sun and whatever. And I guess even if they experience depression, it's not, like, it's not that it doesn't happen as often, but I don't think it's looked at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it might be, like, a little bit put under the rug.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very, like, I still think, and my parents and I have talked about this, because my mom's like, oh, this generation, I think, maybe has more mental health related issues, mm-hmm. or, like, more mental health related disorders, you know? But I don't know if that's true. I mean, I can't confirm nor deny that, because I'm no scientist that has done research on this. But I think it's interesting to look at, because I think mental health is super important. And I think that maybe Gen Z, or even millennials a little bit, like, that generation has, like, a more, I don't know, a better approach to mental health. Yeah. We're very open about it. Whereas,
yeah, I definitely agree.
Like, I feel like if you told our grandparents, like, oh, I'm struggling.
They'd be like, toma agua.
Yeah, yeah. Just like,
drink water.
Yeah, drink water. Or, like, I don't know, go on a walk.
Yeah.
Like, have some bread, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, like, that's not something that a lot of people, or I don't know, maybe we're generalizing here, but I feel like not a lot of people here feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to kind of look at that. I think it's pretty cool. Cultural differences,
yeah.
And what, it's not what's better and what's worse. It's like what you can learn about one, and you
what
know.
What I definitely think, though, I definitely get the place they're coming from. Like,
oh, yeah.
Our family, like, I guess for my mom, whenever I feel anxious or anything like that, she's just like, you don't have anxiety. Like, you're just feeling anxious right now. Like, your nervous system is up. But don't think about it that way. Like,
yeah,
just think about it like you have control over your body. So I kind of see what she means by that. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
She doesn't want me to feel weak.
Yeah.
I guess if I have that mentality and
to
find control over my body or find ways to cope with it.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that in that aspect.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I find it interesting that you say the word weak, because something like here, at least, like, if you're taking a psych courses, which I've taken my whole university career, that's literally me, you wouldn't say that you're weak, right? You're, like, struggling with something. But it's so interesting, because that's what our parents would say. That's what my parents would say as well. I think now that my parents have, like, a psychology student in their home, I think they're more, like, open about it, and not more open, because they've been really open for a while about this. But I think they're more, I don't know, like, open to hearing about everything that I have to say about psychoanalyzing people and what's good and what's not and all that good stuff, you know?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And yeah, actually, so kind of tying that into Thrive Week, this week is Thrive Week at Laurier.
Oh my gosh, we got to tell them about what we did today.
Yeah, I know.
It was so fun.
This whole week has been, like, pretty cool. They've had a bunch of events that are, like, supporting your wellness and your mental health after midterms, or if you're still in midterms, end of term.
Yeah.
Or beginning of end of term, because that's kind of what March is about. It's like we're all kind of feeling, you know, a little bit down. The sun is not coming up as much, and we're all kind of exhausted with our courses. But they got so many events, and today, our first event of the day, I'm pretty sure, was decorating a water bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what we did?
Well, in reality, we didn't actually decorate the water. Well,
I did.
At least she did, but I took mine for my laptop stickers.
Yeah, they had stickers and water bottles for people that didn't have any, and I got a water bottle for my protein shakes, which I'm excited about, and I put a bunch of cute stickers on it. And it's, like, such a little task, but it was, I don't know, it made my day. I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, I have a little cute water bottle now. And then after that, what did we do?
We went to the Martin Luther King building. And we actually had like a little dog therapy session. We didn't know this, but it actually goes on like every Thursday, apparently.
I know. I'm Martin Luther. It's really and cool. It's pretty cool. And I loved it, actually. And there were so many dogs. There was one named Loki. He just wanted the treats.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He was just going around for the treats. Then there was another one, Archie. He was really hyper, and I loved him. There was a husky.
His name was Loak, I think.
I don't remember. I don't remember his name.
I don't know, but he was very calm.
I loved him. He was a gentle giant. There was a tiny, tiny one.
Oh my god, was it? So I thought senior one?
Yeah. She was a senior dog. She was 15 years old. She looked like she was very old. I didn't know her age, but as soon as she walked in, I was like, oh, this dog looks. And again, like, even her eyes, she looked a little bit blind, but she was so sweet. I think her name was Soleil.
Yeah, but we kept calling her Sugar for some reason.
I thought her name was Sugar, and then there was another one named Sugar who was super hyper and cute. But anyway, it was so nice to go to this, like, little, I don't know, break, and I loved it. It actually made my day so much, and it was just nice, and I loved it.
They were very friendly. You could even get like little, like the lady there kept handing out treats too.
Yeah.
So the dogs would come to you.
I thought it was amazing. It was nice. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I'm going to go back next Thursday because apparently they have it every Thursday. I think it was 12:30 to 1:30, I want to say. So if you're on campus on Thursdays from 12:30 to 1:30, I think that's what it was.
Or are you sure it's not 1:30 to 2?
No.
Maybe.
We were there at 12:30. We were there at 12:30, and I'm gonna have to leave my class early for that. But yeah, the Chilling with Dogs, 12:30 to 1:30 at the Martin Luther Chapel, I believe.
Yeah.
And apparently they have a rotation of dogs. Or some of the OG dogs.
There's like a main squad.
I know.
So watch out for that.
I know. Watch out for the main squad. Yeah. They were really cute, though.
Yeah.
I was really happy about that. But yeah, no, it honestly really boosted my little down day. Because yesterday, I just felt so like, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, I think, so basically, we got Krispy Kreme donuts. Like, this was around like noon or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't eat anything prior to that other than breakfast.
Yeah, me
but
either.
But I just remember the stomach pain I had from it.
It like, was, like, so
like, it's definitely
weird.
The sugar or something. But
I think it was the sugar.
Yeah.
I felt like, I don't know, I felt kind of like, I don't know, like in a food coma in a way.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But my stomach hurt, but, like, I was sleepy. I don't know. But it was a bad day regarding our health yesterday because we were just so like exhausted and tired. But then, oh my god, yesterday we also did a Thrive Week event. We did the candlelit yoga.
Oh yes,
I'd forgotten about
that. Oh yes, that was so nice. It was actually, guys, I don't think I could do yoga on like a daily basis because it was a try not to laugh challenge for me. Like, I don't know. I feel like the positions are so awkward. And it's just like every time I'd look over at Victoria, I felt like dying.
Oh, it was really funny. I could not look at you. I just had my eyes closed the whole time. And there was a point where like we kind of looked at each other. And I was like, oh my god, I need to stop laughing. Like, I was like, if I keep laughing, I'm going to have to, like, step out.
I know. The thing is, it's not even the positions that are that funny even. It's the fact that I kept getting them wrong.
I know. It's like, the thing is, like, well, Thrive Week events are actually pretty popular. I mean, there were so many people there.
Yeah.
Like, it was a massive lineup. And honestly, like, yogas are not supposed to be that full, but I thought it was just because it was such big in demand.
It was almost like shoulder to shoulder with someone else.
No, that's the thing. That's why I thought it was so funny, because the people next to us were just so close to us.
I know.
And honestly, that's kind of what made it funny and silly. And
oh, the worst part was, though, that I was supposed to be the one to get all the mats.
Oh my god, yeah.
For us. So I was supposed to go in. We were lining up to get the mats. Every girl got like their own little like pink thin one that was like not not too hard to carry. Like, it was really...
Yeah, like an actual yoga mat.
Yes, yes. One you can just, like, put under your armpit, basically. But then here I come trying to find a little mat, and there's, like, nothing left except for these humongous black ones that weigh, like the weight of, like, a person. And I'm just like, well, we're going to have to go with this.
Yeah, they were massive. I thought it was kind of insane and funny because only that would happen to us if you think about it. But yeah, no, it was really funny, and I just laughed. Laughed a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if I spoke about this mm-hmm. on the last podcast. Maybe I did. Did you watch the Oscars?
I know about, like, what happened, but, like, I'm not someone who watches it, like,
okay,
actively.
Okay. See, I love film, and I love movies, and mm-hmm. I love award season. But I thought it was really fun, I guess, in a way. Like, it was interesting that for Best Supporting Actress, Zoe Saldana won. She's Dominican American, and I thought that was really cool.
She
talked about her experience. She was like, oh, this is for my, like, mommy. And,
oh,
like,
my God, did you hear her, like, yelling, like, yeah, crying? She was just like, mommy!
Honestly, I think if I got in that position, I'd do the same. But I thought it was really interesting. I mean, that film got a lot of criticism and everything, and aside from my thoughts on it, but I thought it was pretty cool that she won that. And
yeah, no, for sure.
You know what? That was pretty cool. But I love the Oscars, and I think it's nice. I don't know. I think about it a lot. I think the next thing that might be coming is the Latin Grammy Awards.
Latin Grammys.
I don't know when that is, but I'm going to look it up. They're pretty soon. Yeah. Okay, no, they're not pretty soon.
Oh.
The last one was November 2024.
Who won the last one?
Well, I don't remember.
Okay.
But for 2025, it's scheduled for November as well. I don't know who the nominees are, but I don't know. Who would be the nominees, I guess?
I definitely think Bad Bunny probably would
for
be
for 2024.
Oh, the 2024 ones.
Yeah, because they're a year behind, right?
Not quite sure.
So here's what ChatGPT told us. Popular artist likely to be nominated, Bad Bunny, for sure. When did his album come out? I guess 2025, so it wouldn't be for those. Oh. Karol G, I think she had an album come out recently. Rauw Alejandro,
oh my God.
He would probably honestly win.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Cosa Nuestra, that was like a masterpiece. I have that. Is that one the one nominated or is it?
Well, no, there's no nominations out yet. No.
Oh.
But I would say it's for that album because that came out in 2024, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would probably be nominated for that. And I think that's cool. I mean, he's Puerto Rican, I believe. Yeah. Puerto Rico in the house. Oh, I need to go to Puerto Rico.
Oh my God. After Bad Bunny released his new album, I just felt like I'm Puerto Rican at heart.
I know. I think all of us are. And it's just like, that album has been on repeat for me for weeks.
I know.
Upon it's weeks.
So
for
good.
These last 3 months, because he released it January 5th.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy how much I like that album, and I think I've said this, I think it might be in my top three Bad Bunny albums of all time.
I love how he's so, like, inclusive of, like, going back to, like, old music.
I know, it's so important because a lot of artists now in the, like, reggaeton scene, like, they're just reggaeton.
Yeah.
And I think Rauw did a little bit of that, like, he brought it back to his roots, mm-hmm. quote unquote. Yeah, because it's just like salsa, merengue.
Yeah.
Which
is nice. I'm seeing a lot of that now, actually.
And I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's so good. And yeah, I really like that. I really enjoy kind of being back to all that stuff. I mean, yeah, a lot of artists are doing that. Peso Pluma is doing that his music, with like Mexican rancheras and like.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love banda music. It's so good.
It's so good. I think a lot of Latino music is so good and underrated, and I think it's important to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what? Bring it back and try to get into North American, you know, like music. I think it's cool. I mean, I personally am a big Taylor Swift fan, but
we know that.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that, but I'm also very into my Latino music. I love it.
Me too.
I love it. It's great. Who are your favorite artists?
Oh, well, you already know number one's gotta go to Rauw Alejandro.
Correct.
Second, I definitely say, who am I thinking of right now? He's not like an artist, but he's like a producer, but he works.
Tiny.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love any of his work. Like for the album he did recently, I think it was Data, I think it was called.
I don't know the name of it, but that was a good album.
I loved it because there was just like so many artists included, and like he always makes bangers. I love it. So I definitely say that would be, obviously not an artist, but...
But he's a producer, he's amazing at his job.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I love him. I love his music. I think also, I forget about Fade a lot. I like Fade.
Yeah.
What do you think of him?
He's all right. Like, I love his music too, but for me, like, I wouldn't say I'm a big enough fan, because all the songs kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very similar.
He has the same vibe.
But not in a bad way. Of course, I love him, but like, kind of the same sounds.
Yeah, you know what? And I think about how proud Latinos are recently about their, like, works, at least music-wise. I think it's so cool. I mean, Bad Bunny doing his residency in Puerto Rico for, what, 2 full months?
Yeah.
Or, like, a whole month. I don't know how many shows he's doing just for Puerto Rican residents.
It really shows like he cares.
And he said it before. He's like, I don't live in LA. He said it in his songs. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't live in LA. I live in Puerto Rico. And I think that's super cool. And yeah, I think the rise of Latinos in like the media is so important.
I know. Like it feels like there's not, I guess when I was younger, especially in elementary school, I didn't really grow up with having like representation like that.
Yeah, you know? I think it's important for younger Latinos to feel represented in like the North American media, if you will, because it is like pretty important. I just looked up like some Latino figures, because obviously we know Bad Bunny is a big one and everybody knows Bad Bunny. But I forget about Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, my God.
He's crazy because...
Colombia.
Me encanto. He has so many... Well, he wrote and, like, starred in Hamilton, which is massive.
Oh, yeah.
Have I watched it? No. But I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's worked on so many movies and so much, and I think that's super cool.
It's awesome that there's more, like, Latin representation in film as well.
Yeah, see, I could not tell you. I looked them up. Cardi B, Sofia Vergara, who's Tessa Thompson? I didn't know. She's apparently Mexican descent on her mother's side.
Wait, who's Tessa?
She's from Thor. I don't know.
You're going to have to show me a picture.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture later. But I think that's pretty cool. I mean... J-Lo, we know that one.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal, I think he's been pretty big because of The Last of Us, right?
Oh my gosh. I love that, like, there's Latino representation in that franchise, because it's just, like, it just ties into also my interest. Like,
that's so cool.
I don't know if you guys know this, but on my little Get to Know Me blurb for Meet the Team, you're going to see that I said my favorite video game is The Last of Us. It's for a reason, guys. And
yeah.
That show made it 10 times better when he entered the picture.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Well, I've never watched it, and I have no clue. I mean, I don't know what it's about. I'm sure it's good.
It's good, guys. Please. Yeah? Please watch. Please play.
There's that one. And then... have you watched One Day at a Time?
I have. I've rewatched it twice, actually.
It's so good. It's so funny and so good. And it's just always, like, it's, like, even Modern Family. I guess it's not, like, necessarily Latino, but it's so good. And I think we love any kind of the media. Like,
yeah, representation. I know. For sure.
Did you ever watch Jane the Virgin?
Yes, I did.
I love it.
I loved it.
I love it, but I haven't watched it in a while, and I thought, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I love how in, like, there's also more representation of, like, different skin colors as well for, like, Latino representation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what I grew up with, like, telenovelas were just, like, white people. Yeah. And it's people that don't look like me. So yeah. It's nice to see, like, shows are starting to be more inclusive in that way.
Yeah, because, I mean, all Latinos look different. Yeah, all of us look different.
There's no set standard.
I know.
Yeah, and people have to understand that.
I mean, there's definitely that stereotype that, like, we all look the same. Yeah. And we all have, like, I don't know, let's say brown hair, brown eyes.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, a little bit of a tan skin color, but not all of us look that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that we're all different. And, yeah, I think that's kind of the beauty of being Latino.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kind of finishing up, I mean, we still got some stuff to talk about, but what are your favorite Latino, like, foods? Besides, like, okay, let's talk about Salvadorian food, and then we'll talk about Latino foods if you've had.
Okay, so you want me to start off with
Salvadorian? Yeah, go for
it. All right, definitely I'd say pupusas, obviously.
Oh, so good.
I love, my favorite type are queso con loroco.
Yeah.
I just love the little
bits,
like,
of it.
Yeah, the little bits of it. And some people don't like it, actually, which is
so
funny.
I really enjoy it.
I love it. It just gives it such a distinct taste.
Yeah.
And then with, like, the curtido and the salsa, it's like, oh.
See, I'm not a big fan of the curtido.
I don't know why you don't like it. It has to go with it.
I think it's a vinegar. I don't love vinegar.
You have to try my mom's then, because she doesn't make it as vinegary. Like, it's very fresh tasting.
Okay.
Like, it's more
okay.
The veggies.
Okay, I trust your mom.
Yeah.
I trust her.
What else? Other than that, like, outside of my own culture?
Yeah. What have you tried that you like? Or maybe don't like? I don't know.
Let me think. Oh, this is an interesting one that I didn't like as much.
Okay.
Pozol from Mexico. We went to an authentic restaurant, but it didn't get. Guys, if you guys have any suggestions for me where to go to get, like, a good pozol, because I've heard it's good. I want to genuinely try a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me know.
Maybe that wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, my favorite Salvadorian food is definitely pupusas or quesadilla.
Quesadilla, yeah.
Oh my god. I could cry thinking about quesadilla. It's so good. It's like this kind of,
it's like a bread, like a sweet bread, but it tastes cheese.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you put a little cheese in it. Yeah.
But it's not any cheese. It has to be Salvadorian, like, queso.
Yeah.
For it to taste good, you know?
I know. But it's fire, and I really liked it, and I made it myself once, and I thought...
I know. You gave me some, and it was really good.
Okay,
like,
thank God.
I ate the whole thing.
Here's the thing. My neighbor, who is not Salvadorian, which is so funny, her best friend is Salvadorian, so she knows a lot of, like, the culture and how to cook it. She makes, so far, from what I've tried, so far the best quesadilla ever and the best pupusas ever.
I gotta try.
I know, they're so fire. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't know how you can mess up a pupusa. I think it's in the filling.
Yeah, definitely the filling. Oh my God, I've had so many that are just, like, too much masa around the edges. And it's just like, no, I need the cheese to be dripping out.
Oh,
like,
she makes it so perfectly, and I would die to have one. Even though I had a couple days ago, it was so good. So definitely quesadilla and pupusas are my fave Salvadorian foods. I think for me, Venezuelan foods are staying on top are definitely...
Arepas?
No.
No?
No, no, no. Empanadas or cachapas, which, well, empanadas, like, I think everyone knows the concept of it, but I mean, every country has their own. I would like to think that mine are my favorite. Obviously, mine are the best, but that's just my own bias. And then cachapas are like sweet cornmeal pancake. They're very sweet, and like you put cheese in the middle, and it's like buttery and soft and delicious.
So good.
Anyway, I'm starving.
I know, I'm really hungry too.
I know, it's dinner time, and I think that's what's perfect about Latinos. It's like we all kind of share the same core stuff. I mean, outside of my culture, I love buñuelos from Colombia.
Oh my god, I love buñuelos too.
They're so fresh.
We call them nuegados too.
Oh, you guys make them too?
Yeah, we do.
That's cool.
We can. They're either called buñuelos or nuegados.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I don't think we have them back back home. Excuse me. But yeah, I think it's super cool that Latinos can bond over food. And
I know.
I'm kind of homesick now.
Yeah.
I kind of need to go home
eat
some food.
I forgot to mention before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
My favorite, definitely outside of my culture for food, would be birria tacos.
Oh, my God.
They're so good.
If you have a good Mexican taco, like if you have a good Mexican meal, holy, it's so good. And I think you can find a lot of them here. And not in KW, but like a lot you can find in Canada because... Yeah. There's so much of a culture, Mexican culture here, and I think that's amazing. Oh my god. Now I want Mexican food.
I know.
Not some Taco Bell.
Maybe I'll get some tonight actually.
Oh my god.
I'm so hungry.
There is a place nearby.
Oh, I heard
tacos.
Yes.
And our co-president, I think Marina, she said they were good. Or someone else said they were good. And I would like to try.
Me too.
Maybe we'll go there.
Yeah.
After our event. So, see you guys at the event. The next event is a mix and mingle with the UW, the Waterloo.
LASA, yeah.
LASA, the Latin Students Association there. I don't really know what their acronym stands for. I'm assuming Latinos.
It's, Latin American Student
Association. Yeah. Yeah, look at us. If it's not that, sorry, LASA. But, yeah, that's basically their LLSA. And we're doing a joint event. So meet us, I'm pretty sure it's the 13th.
Yes, it should be at 7 p.m. Yeah. So make sure to go to our link in our Instagram and sign the little waiver form too.
Yeah, you have to sign, because it's going to be in the, like, at Waterloo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the location right now, so stay posted on Instagram or maybe the Nest.
Oh, I think I have the location. It's like MC something, but we'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, we'll keep you guys posted. And yeah, we got to kind of go because we got our event.
Our tote bag event. So please
by. I'm really excited. I don't know what I'll, excuse me. I don't know what I'll paint on this, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, no worries. Hope to see you all there. I'm excited to meet you.
Yeah, hope to see you back on the podcast. I think it's fun
to
have
really
different people, I guess, every week lately. That's what I've been doing. But, yeah, so stay tuned. Next week we'll be back at 7 p.m. Not 7 p.m., 6 p.m. again. March 13th, at 6 p.m. So I'll see you guys there. Bye
now. Right. Bye, guys.